One of the great unanswered questions of life, not just of religion, but of life itself, is why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? And that is a question, by the way, if you think that I'm going to answer it by the end of the homily, please disappoint yourself early, okay? Because I do not have an answer to that. But I'd like to start out with it because that's what Jesus starts out with. Notice that in the gospel today, Jesus begins by reporting on two tragedies that happened in his time. These are the only way we know that these tragedies happened is because the Gospels tell us that they happened. So what's the first tragedy? The first tragedy is that Pilate, who remember is the Roman governor, he's not a Jew. He is the Roman governor. And there was always friction between the governor, the Roman authorities, and the Jewish people. And so, evidently, what happened, and we don't know the circumstances, but if you remember the temple, what was going on in the temple was the sacrifices of animals. When you would go to church or go to temple in those days, you didn't just kind of go and sing songs, you know, and hear a sermon. You normally took an animal, and the animal, it was considered to be offered to God. And remember the logic of this. They understood that worshiping God meant giving God things that God may want. That was an ancient understanding that people had. Think about it. If you want to please anyone, normally what you do is you give them gifts. Something. You do stuff for them or you give them gifts. And so in the ancient world, not just the Jewish people, but people all around, they thought, okay, God must want gifts. And so they would give him animals. Now the question, of course, is how do you get an animal up there to God? Right? And so what they would do is they would put an animal in on an altar, and they would kill the animal, try and do it quickly, you know, slicing its throat or something like that. But then they would open it up, and the blood from the animal, for the Jewish people, the blood is something that was considered the life of the animal. We even today still talk about the life blood. Okay? And the blood, that's why to this day, Orthodox and conservative Jews cannot eat bloody meat because it's considered to be the life of the animal, the life force of the animal. And so they were doing that on a regular basis on the Sabbath. And it appears, and we don't know what happened, but it appears that some altercation occurred and Pilate got involved. And Pilate evidently killed a group of men. And so as to insult the people, to insult them, he took the blood of these guys whom he had killed and he mixed human blood with animal blood, which is, for a Jew, an insult, because the life of a human made in the image and likeness of God is not comparable to the life of an animal. And by the way, just to finish how they would worship God, they would then take the animal and they would burn the animal, sacrifice the animal in burning it, and they would consume some of its flesh because they weren't about to waste it. But it was supposed to be that as the animal burned, God or the gods would kind of lean over and go, ah, barbecue. Okay? And so that's how they understood that you were worshiping God, because the smoke would go up and then they would all partake in the flesh or the meat of the animal. Which, by the way, and I'm not going to go into this, but you can hear the echoes already in this process of Jesus saying, take this, this is my body, which will be sacrificed for you. Eat it. Notice there's the linkage already there in terms of participation in what he's doing. But that's not the issue here. So there's this incident, and Pilate insulted the Jews. But then Jesus asks, those poor guys that got killed, who were probably innocent, and they got killed by Pilate, then he asks them the question, do you think they were worse people than everybody else? Because remember, the opposite question of why do bad things happen to good people is bad things should only happen to bad people. That's the logic. And by the way, if you read in the Old Testament, the book of Job, in the book of Job, the whole issue is that Job hasn't done anything bad. So how come bad things are happening to Job? And there's this whole argument during the whole book in which three of his friends come and try to convince him that something he did, even though he doesn't remember, that something he did made God angry. And that's why he is experiencing all of the suffering he did. And of course, the whole book is Job saying, no, I didn't do anything bad. And I'm willing to go to court with God to prove my innocence. And the book goes back and forth. And at the end of the book, we don't get an answer again. But in the end of the book, God speaks. And he affirms the fact that he is in charge of the universe and that Job doesn't do anything, doesn't know anything, and ultimately that it remains the mystery. But what is debunked is that bad things happen to bad people, because Job was not a bad person. So the question, the assertion that bad things happen to bad people is debunked by the book of Job, but we don't get an answer as to why do bad things happen at all. Why do bad things happen? And so Jesus, during his time, it was still widely believed, even in spite of the book of Job, it was widely believed that if something bad happened, somebody must have sinned. Even your parents might have sinned, and bad things were happening to you because your parents sinned. And if you remember, there is in another part of the gospel where a group of people come up to Jesus and say, Master, who sinned that this man be born blind? And Jesus has to deal with it again, saying nobody sinned that this man is born blind. So in this situation, Jesus asks this question. Do you think that those poor guys who were killed by Pilate and their blood was mingled in the insult with the sacrifices, do you think that because that happened to them, they were worse people than everybody else in Galilee? And Jesus says, no, they were not. Meaning, the bad thing, again, did not happen to them because they were worse people than anybody else. And then he mentions another tragedy that we only hear about in the Gospels. And that is, evidently, they were building a tower, or a tower had been built. And either during the building of the tower or after the building of the tower fell over and it fell on a group of people and they were killed. And so Jesus says, now do you think that the people who were the victims of this accident were therefore more guilty of sin than anybody else? And the answer is, no, they weren't. They were not. But after each of those two stories, he makes this statement, but I tell you, you will all die in your sins if you do not repent. Now, what's he talking about? Because at first, it doesn't make sense what he's saying. It's almost like he's not answering the question. He's making another statement that doesn't seem to go towards those two events. You will all die in your sins if you do not repent. The issue here is that Jesus is not at all referring to the physical things that happen to us during our lifetime. Jesus seems to accept the fact that suffering is part of the human condition. It's part of it. Why did God make the world to include suffering for all? Because the whole issue is all human beings, all of us, suffer. There's no question. Okay? As a good friend of mine says sometimes, he says, the last time I checked, the mortality rate for humanity was holding steady at 100%. And that is true. If you're the luckiest person in the world and nothing bad ever happens to you, dying is not fun. And so suffering is going to be involved. Why did God do that? I don't know. Okay? But let me just take a little exit here just to give you a little peek at some thinking. If you think about it, suffering, now let me introduce it this way. You don't have to raise your hands here. How many of you can just think it, how many of you go to the gym on a regular basis or exercise heavily on a regular basis? I know there's one guy back there. But there's more than that over here, okay? Now let me ask you this. When you go to the gym is an organized torture chamber. It is. You actually pay to go to a place where there are machines that torture you. Okay? And you go there. Okay? And we even have a saying, no pain. I would love it if it would say no pain, Rogaine. But no pain, no gain. Now, the only reason I'm bringing it up is notice that humanity was created And if there is no stress, no pain, the human being, the human body atrophies. And so I don't know, that doesn't answer the question, why do bad things happen? But it does tell you that all suffering is not inherently bad, that many times it produces something different, and that may be an answer. But let's get back on the main highway. And the main highway is still this question. This question that Jesus is saying, they weren't any worse than anybody else. But he doesn't tell us why do bad things happen to good people. But he says, if you don't repent, you will all die in your sins. Now, what's he saying? The issue here is that Jesus is much more concerned about the future of yourself than of your body. You see, Jesus' concern is not about the body that you have, even though he will heal a lot of people. His chief concern is about the person that you are, because the person that you are can become so corrupted that you end up literally good for the garbage. In the ancient world, Jesus periodically would talk about the judgment of God, and he would say that you are fit, if those who are to be condemned are to be fit for the fires of Gehenna. Now, you may have heard of the fires of Gehenna. But Gehenna was the name of the garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. It's where, in the ancient world, people would do even human sacrifices. And so to the Hebrews, it was a place that was unclean. And so they used it as a garbage dump. And there was constantly fires burning there, and people would take a lot of their trash and burn it at Gehenna. And Jesus says that the condemned will suffer the fires of Gehenna. Now, what is that? What's he saying is, you can actually come to the point in your life that if you do not turn your life around and be the kind of person that God wants you to be, that in the judgment, you might be fit for the garbage dump. Now, we don't know. You know, the Catholic Church says, the interesting issue here, that Jesus said that the human being has the capacity to actually reject what God wants for them. We have the freedom of will to become what God doesn't want us to be. It's basically a rejection of your deepest self, because your deepest self is what God wants you to be. Okay, you become, the more you become like God, the more you become the true self that you were supposed to be. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I enjoy thinking about is that the word holy, you know, if you are supposed to grow in holiness, the word holy comes from the word, the same root as the word whole, W-H-O-L-E. And so to be whole is to be holy. And so what the point here is that to some degree we are not whole. We are broken, deficient human beings. We are imitations of what God wants us to be. And the whole point of being a Christian is to recognize that you are screwed up. You are normal. You are, I like to compare it to a computer, usually a PC, not an Apple. But that was a joke. Get it? Ha ha ha. God. So, I like to compare it to a computer. Imagine that you have used a computer all your life that has been infected by viruses. You have never been on a computer that has a clean operating system. You don't even know what a clean system should look like. We don't need, because you've never been on one. You've always been screwed up. Okay, as a baby, as a child, all of us, that's what the church calls original sin. And so what the whole point of our faith is that Jesus is saying, unless we focus our attention on trying to be the people that God wants us to be, you will die infected. You will die being, having rejected what God wants you to be. His concern is not, why did this bad thing happen to this person or that bad thing happen? His concern is much more about your inner self than your body. You will die in your sins. And when he says, unless you repent, the word repent, you know, I've always struggled with that word, but I have to remember that the translation of the word that is used in the Gospels doesn't really fit the word repent. You see, the word in the Gospels is metanoia. The word metanoia. Unless you metanoia, you will die in your sins. Metanoia means unless you change the way you think, unless you change consciously the orientation of your life. A lot of times what we think of repent is, ooh, I have to sit and feel sorry. I have to sit and make myself feel sorry. Have you ever had done some stuff and you don't even feel sorry? I had one guy a long time ago, and he was coming to confession, and I said, so are you sorry for your sins? And he says, no, Father, I'm really sorry that they're wrong. Okay. evidently, he was enjoying his sin. You know, so he was sorry that they were wrong. But think it through. A lot of what metanoia means is use your head. And that's what Lent is for. Use your head and ask yourself, how is it that God wants me to live? Reflect on that. Don't just, you know, saying, you know, ooh, this is bad, bad boy, you did it, and then, ooh, I gotta feel sorry. Without understanding it, it doesn't make sense. If you don't understand why things are right or wrong, you won't get very far. Because all you're doing is trying to make yourself feel sorry. What God is asking you to do is metanoia, meaning think it through. God wants you to be whole. What is it about what you are doing that is an expression of a behavior in your life that is less than what a full human being should be doing? That's the point. That's why, you know, when we start Ash Wednesday, I always quote Saint Teresa of Avila. Teresa of Avila said this. She's one of the greatest saints of the Catholic Church. She said, I have this tattooed, not in my body, but I don't have any tattoos, but I want to. Anyway, Teresa of Avila said, from silly devotions and sour-faced saints, gracious God, deliver us. From silly devotions and sour-faced saints, gracious God, deliver us. And why? Because a lot of us, we forget, and we think that religion is all about silly devotions, or saying really fast prayers. I always remember the rosary when I was growing up. My mom belonged to a group that said the rosary, and oh my goodness! You know, in Spanish you're supposed to say, Dios te salve María, llena eres de gracia, el Señor es contigo. Bendita tú eres entre todas las mujeres y bendito es el fruto de tu vientre, Jesús. Santa María, Madre de Dios, ruega por nosotros pecadores, ahora y en la hora de nuestra muerte. Amén. That's the Hail Mary in Spanish. You know what I remember? Salve María, llena de gracia, Señor, contigo, bendito tú eres todas las mujeres, bendito es el fruto de tu vientre, Jesús. Santa María, Madre de Dios, ruega por nosotros pecadores, ahora y en la hora de nuestra muerte. Amén. And they go to the next bead. You talk about silly devotions. That's silly. And I'm sure God is sitting up there going, oh man, I love this. This is just wonderful. Look at how much they love me. Okay? That's not the point. Okay? So what Jesus is saying is, if you do not metanoia, take seriously your life. That's why Socrates would say, Greek philosopher, the unexamined life is not worth living. What Jesus is saying is, examine, take time to focus on what kind of a human being should you be. How can you become whole so that you may be holy? Bad things happen to everybody. And ultimately, look at what ultimately happened to Jesus. If you think, you know, when people say, well, how come this horrible thing happened to me? Look behind me. And you can tell bad things don't just happen to bad people. We don't know why suffering happens. But we do know that you do have the choice about the kind of person that you become. And what Jesus is concerned about is not explaining why bad things happen to good people. He's concerned about the choice that you have to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. And that's the main choice that you have as a human being. Do you go, as it says in the Old Testament, I put before you life and death. Choose life. Choose to be full of life the way God intended you to live. God bless. Thanks for listening to